It's very nice. I think we need these festivals just if only for the reason that we can meet old devotee friends. But now I want to request you to, if it is possible, please. I know it is very difficult, but so nice after kirtan, you are all extremely enlivened. I want to say something in regards of kirtan. Very often when we enter the kirtan, in the beginning we feel a little shy, maybe out of place, because we are really accustomed to see that the action is outside of us. It's either in the movies or in the TV, or we just observe others doing the action. All of a sudden, in kirtan, it's us who have to glorify Krishna and dance for Krishna. And I can see very often the material concepts which we all carry with us act like subtle prisons, so that we just cannot enter the kirtan but remain on the side of the kirtan. Prabhupada was once asked what to do in such a case where there is kirtan but you do not feel enthusiastic. Somehow even you might feel shy. At other times you might even feel critical. Oh, what is this? They are dancing so much. I think they only want to show off. This is all a reaction of our false ego, which gets severely bombarded by the sound of the holy name, and it doesn't like it. So Prabhupada was asked what to do when you are not enthusiastic. And Prabhupada just said, act as if you were enthusiastic. And you will see, after some time, that the power of the holy name and maybe a little healthy dose of madness takes over. I'm speaking of a healthy dose. There's unhealthy or psychologically explainable madness, and there is also madness which is based on happiness. And that is all right sometimes. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, I have a very, very important subject matter today. It is called the heart of Krishna. Would you like to know what is in the heart of our Lord, what he thinks and how he feels about all of you and so on? I think that is a very, very good subject matter, and I would really like to read it to you. Translation. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. A purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. You know, just officially, yes, I'm meditating, yeah, I'm chanting. Life should be so molded. How? That one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of money. Oh, I must have made a mistake. I'm sorry. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of prasadam. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm sometimes doing this when you don't listen to what in the purport. So I think by now you want to know what we are reading. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot think. He cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Now comes my favorite sentence in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. Now Prabhupada goes into something very important with what an acharya has to do. He now gives the paribhasita, that is the definition of what we should think of in Krishna consciousness. It gets now very serious. This is a very important section of this purport. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanghita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, that's tomorrow's appearance day, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Yes, Krishna, Krishna. Okay. So, in this verse, Lord Krishna explains what is in his heart. This morning, we all were thinking deeply about practicing our spiritual practices with sambandha gyan. It's the first step, really, which a devotee has to take in his spiritual education. Sambandha gyan, knowledge of his relationship with Krishna. Now, in this particular verse, which is the definition, really, of the whole Bhagavad Gita, the definition of the subjects in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains a little bit what he expects of his devotees. See, you must know that it is the devotees who can really establish a relationship to Krishna. Have you ever had a deep relationship with someone? Please think of that someone with whom you have a deep relationship. If you are one of those who doesn't have any deep relationships, you can think of someone with whom you would like to in the future have a deep relationship. If you ever have a deep relationship with someone, you will at one stage of that relationship have touched the innermost part of this person's heart. When you have touched the heart of someone, then you can speak of a relationship. So Krishna, with whom we wish to make a relationship, he says, yes, there are people who have touched my heart so much that they live in my heart. And he will define these people. If you, Krishna here opens his heart to the world and explains to him what type of people can touch his heart so much that they come into his heart and are in his heart. It's of course the devotees. Krishna talks about these devotees in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam in a very famous shloka. Sadavo hridayam mayam sadunam hridayam tvaham mat anyate na janati. That's a love song. Naham tebyo manakapi. The devotee, says Krishna, is always within the innermost part of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Here Krishna talks of a loving relationship which he has with his devotees who have touched his heart so much that they are in his heart. And Krishna also has touched his devotees' heart so much that you will find him in the heart of a pure devotee. I remember once devotees asked Prabhupada, what does Krishna in the heart do? You know, does he always stand there? I mean, doesn't he get tired and all? And Prabhupada said, one moment, I will just look. Then he smiled and said, he's just now resting. Yes, this is Krishna's in the heart of the devotees. And simultaneously, the devotee is in Krishna's heart. So, wouldn't you like to be in Krishna's heart, huh? And would you also like the Krishna's in your heart? Are you interested in love? And are you interested in, no, don't just ask to say yes without thinking about it. Love sometimes means to give a sacrifice. Love is sweet, but sometimes it is also intense. Deep love is nothing for the light-hearted, for the uncommitted. It is for those who want to go deep. Krishna is now, in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, leaning out of the pages of the Gita, if you so want, and describes what he wishes his devotee to be like? What kind of inner construction his devotee should have? How they should be? And I believe that I have researched this a little bit, because I must admit to you, this verse is my, if I should write down a favorite verse from the Bhagavad Gita, it would be certainly this one. And I have taken a little, collected a few jewels for you, which I hope will be giving some clarity to you. I've done this by going through our different acharyas, whom Srila Prabhupada quotes in his literature, mainly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushana. So the first thing which Krishna wants his devotees to do is manmana, concentrate your mind on me. Mana means mind. Krishna will give four instructions. These instructions are for the body and the mind of his devotees. But he starts, that's very important, with the mind of the devotee, how he wishes the devotee's mind. He says he wants the devotee thinks of him. And the acharyas Baladev Vidyabhushana has given an example. Krishna doesn't want that we as devotees are like a servant of a king. Do you know a servant of a king? I mean, you could imagine this servant. He very much serves the king with his body, but with his mind, that servant of the king is most probably not with the king, but with his loved ones who live at home. Maybe that servant thinks of his little daughter, or maybe of his beloved wife, or his son, or anyone. At the same time, though, he engages his body in the service of the king. But Krishna says he doesn't wish his devotees to be like this. He wants to first have their mind. They must think of him. I must laugh at this moment. I didn't want to tell it, but I feel so much an urge to tell it. My father would sometimes come back from his work in the railway, and he had one director who was above him. This director was called Professor Burkhardt, I remember. Now, he had to somehow do service for this Professor Burkhardt, but he hated Professor Burkhardt. He did everything, you know, in order to get his, how do you say in English, Beförderung, to rise in the hierarchy of the German railway. In order to do this, he had to serve this Mr. Burkhardt. And sometimes my father was so frustrated. He came back when we all, little children, were waiting for him on the family table, and he said, "Boys," we are three brothers at home, "boys, if it's up to me, I would go before the desk of Professor Burkhardt, and I would just urinate on all his papers. I hate this guy so much." When I was older, I asked him, "Did you ever tell Professor Burkhardt what you really thought of him?" And he said, no, I was at that time just wanting to have a raise in payment, and I was very, yes, Professor Burkhardt, yes, very good idea, and so on. So if you, Krishna addresses this point amongst his devotees, that he just doesn't think an official work in official performing sadhana and all these things is good enough. He wants that the mind is there. Sometimes when we have a shortage of pujaris, it does happen that we take all types of pujaris who may internally explode with different issues. But Krishna says he is not so satisfied with such a service. He wants not that his servants are just engaging their bodies. He wants the mind. And now Krishna gives us a meditation. Let me say, Prabhupada here says, I'm sorry, I got mixed up. He also doesn't want his devotees to be just official meditators. One should not become an official meditator. Would you sometimes like to meditate in your spiritual life? Or do you feel this is maybe too advanced? Or I don't know how you feel about meditation, but it's a good thing to do. It's nice. And Krishna will now give us a picture how we should meditate really about Krishna. And in our shastras, we find these different meditations which are mentioned. For instance, as you chant, the Sanat Kumar Sanghita tells us that you should meditate, if you have such inclination, about a beautiful tree, banyan tree, under which Lord Krishna is playing with his flute, and he is there with Srimati Radharani and the cowherd boys. Or you can also meditate about Krishna entering into the Yamuna, splashing the gopis with the water. These are all meditations, but here a very nice meditation is given, which I personally think is very practical. Would you like to know this meditation? Give your mind as a gift to me, Shyama Sunda, the one with a moon-like face, shining locks of hair, and beautiful eyebrows. There is a rain of nectar coming from this Lord in the form of glances of sweet mercy. Today, I had a guest. There was a guest who told me that he is very crazy for, you know, the ordinary things which boys and girls do, who don't know so much about rules and regulations amongst them, the, you know, physical and intimate relationships to girls, and with boys also, there is a meditation given in the shastras, which when this lust overwhelms our heart, will always work. It's said we should meditate on the shining moon-like face of Lord Krishna, with beautiful eyebrows. That's very important. Curved eyebrows. And that there is a rain of nectar coming from Krishna in the form of glances. Krishna gives nectar by looking towards his devotees. It is described his eyes are always like bumblebees. They are restless. They are not. He looks at all his devotees all the time. And this way he blesses his devotees with mercy. This is explained really. Yes. Now the next item which we have to learn is Bhava Mat Bhakto, become my servant. And here Krishna means says that we should engage our bodies in Krishna's service. That means we should give him all our senses, such as the ears, to Krishna, especially by hearing and chanting and seeing the murtis. I personally think that this type of bodily service is very nicely done if you sweat for Krishna by dancing for his pleasure before the deity form. I really think we should learn to dance elegantly and graciously before Krishna with our bodies. And we should then, when the water comes from the altar, We should take it on our body. And in this way, purify our senses and becoming a servant of Lord Krishna. Yes. And the next item which we should do is we should worship Lord Krishna. Worship has a child. Do you know the child of worship? What could it be? Reciprocation or... What is very much related with worship? It's an interesting question, isn't it? When you think of worship, what does this really mean? It means a sacrifice which you do for Krishna. Just like in a loving relationship, you sacrifice, you do something, you give presents, you give time, you give energy. So you should sacrifice something for Krishna. Give me objects like nice incense, flowers, the lamp, some nice boga offering. Be my worshipper. This is very important. Do something for Krishna. Sacrifice something for Krishna. I know in the first temple in San Francisco, Prabhupada encouraged the young hippies when they bought a new pair of jeans. He said, you should first come with a new pair of jeans and offer them to Jagannath. So very good. I have holy jeans. You know, and they offer it to Jagannath. And yes, sacrifice something to Krishna. This Krishna likes this very much. Mm-hmm. And finally, do your Ashtanga Pranam. Do Namaskar. Offer obeisances. Bow down, Mister. Bow down, Sister. So, after having told these four things, first give me your mind. Means think of me. Krishna is very wonderful. Then become my servant. Engage your senses in my service. And then give me an object. And finally, fall flat before me. Then he comes to the point. And I really very much like this point. Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, at this moment, Krishna gets tears of love in his eyes. He folds his hands and he says, please, Arjuna, do this and you will come to me. Please believe me. Satyam te. Satyam means I'm taking an oath. Do you know what is an oath? An oath means a vow. I take a fixed, firm vow. Satyam. With tears in the eyes, Lord Krishna goes like, please believe me, because what I'm telling you is true now. You will come to me. This is a very nice point. So Krishna is touched with his heart when he speaks these verses. He really gives the way for his devotees to come to him. And I would really request all of you to think about these four instructions, to ask yourselves questions. Am I really thinking of Krishna today? Have I thought of Krishna today? Ask yourself a question. Have I done something exclusively for Krishna, where I engage my senses in Krishna's service? Have I worshipped him already? That means sacrificed something for him today. And have I really paid from my heart my obeisances? If you practice only these four things, then pratijane priyosime, Krishna promises with tears of love in his heart, you will certainly come to me. Krishna is so much on this point that he comes as an incarnation, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and shows us a little bit what it means to think of Krishna and to engage the senses in his service. And, you know, he sees, I have spoken this many thousand years ago, but no one really has done this. So I will show the conditioned souls how to do this. And he comes as a perfect teacher, where he teaches these four things. And there is one particular thing which I really like to share with you, a nice description how Lord Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting this to us. You know, at his later point of his life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to be in one room in Puri. It's called the Gambira, a very small room. And he would chant in this room and call out for Krishna. And sometimes the Lord felt so much separation from Lord Krishna that he would rub his soft face at the side of the wall, and he would say gong 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 gong, and it would become smeared with blood. And then the morning Swarup Damoda and Ramananda Rai came to him and said, "My Lord, you look so smeared with blood. Why did you do this to you?" Lord Chaitanya was not aware, because he was calling for Krishna. He had given his mind to Krishna. Later, the devotees said, we can't let Lord Chaitanya alone in this small room because he will hurt himself. And they gave one devotee in the room. He is called Shankara Pandit, the younger brother of Damodar Pandit. And Shankara would be with Lord Chaitanya and massage his feet. And then while massaging, Shankara Pandit fell asleep like Jai Gopal. Then Lord Chaitanya, not now, but most of the times. But then Lord Chaitanya would take his own chadar and cover Shankara Pandit with his blanket, with the chadar. Shankara Pandit was known amongst the devotees as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya would sleep in such a way that he would put his lotus feet on Shankara Pandit's blessed body. Who of you would like to have the lotus feet of God on your Western Kali Yuga body? I think it would be very good, you know, it would be extremely suitable and favorable for our ecstatic mood in Krishna consciousness. So therefore Shankara Pandit was known as the pillow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was so near and close and loving. So anyways, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would enter the mood of separation, and I would just like to give you the words which he spoke at such a time. At this time you will need to be a little concentrated, because now we enter into the mystical language of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would describe his mind and how his mind felt in relationship to Krishna. Please listen to this. It's very mystical and very, very nice. He would describe his mind to be a yogi who would be dressed in a blanket of anxiety. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? And the only words which the yogi of the mind was speaking was, "Alas, oh ve Krishna." This yogi of Lord Chaitanya's mind had one turban. It's the turban of greed.
Oh, I must have Krishna, I must have Krishna, I must have Krishna.
And he would always study the poetry and descriptions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Now the yogi of Mahaprabhu's mind has 10 disciples. Who do you think are the disciples of the mind? 10 disciples. The 10 senses. You know, the mind set, the guru says, Jai Gopal, don't sleep. And Jai Gopal goes, whoop, I'm not sleeping. I never sleep. Because he wants to follow. So in the same way, the mind has senses. The mind tells the tongue, eat something. Okay. The mind tells the eyes, now look at the Matajis. Okay. Oh, on the nice boys. Look at the nice boys. Okay. The mind tells the other senses, he has 10 disciples and they all follow. Peng. They are good disciples, the senses. So Lord Chaitanya says, the yogi of my mind has left my body with his 10 disciples, the 10 senses. And he has gone to Vrindavan, where he begs with all his disciples for the remnants of Krishna's qualities, beauty, sweetness, aroma. And do you know where the mind goes with his 10 senses to beg some information of Krishna? To which houses does the yogi of the mind go? Mahaprabhu says it goes to the gopis. Yes, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would talk like this, and only a few devotees could understand his ecstatic state of Krishna consciousness. And he would teach us in this way to become a little bit disturbed. My dear devotees, if you have come to Krishna consciousness to become peacefully at ease, then you are not at the right spot. I have not said it loud because a preacher wants to attract the conditioned souls. Once Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, how do we become quickly Krishna conscious? Quickly! Not, we don't want to go the easy way. Prabhupada said, you become Krishna conscious by your anxiety. Now we have to understand this. Anxiety means you take something, it's not self-centered anxiety. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, poor me. This is happening. I had something on my list of anxiety where I was very self-centered because I didn't like to go to this one place where I went last Monday. And I was calling all the devotees, please help me, please help me. I'm so much in anxiety. This is so bad for me. The devotees have helped me and Krishna has helped me. But this is not the type of anxiety when you don't want to go to the dentist like a... Sundarananda knows. I was so much in anxiety going to the dentist. and always I would say, if I want, I would get out of the car and I would say, if I want, I can just turn around and run away from here, from this place of torture. The whole day I was thinking of the dentist. I remember. I was thinking, oh no, it will be 100% complicated. And then one day, I just came from the dentist, and came back to give a lecture. Now, just before giving a lecture, I was so hungry, I ate a little bread, and as I was eating the bread, my tooth was in the bread. Oh, now this. And then immediately we phoned Lalita Priya, save me, mercy, please, and bring an injection with you. And Lalita Priya rushed and gave me a big injection in the Zagreb temple. And put the tooth back where it belonged. This type of anxiety, that is not how you become Krishna conscious. That's how you become me conscious. But the anxiety, you know, like if you do a service, can the service be done for Krishna? Does this work for Krishna? I shouldn't do a mistake for Krishna. Can we present this for Krishna? This type of Krishna-centered anxiety will make you Krishna conscious. Because by this type of anxiety, you will think of Krishna. You know, when I had my dentist anxiety, I must admit to you, and you can ask Lalita Priya, all my spiritual knowledge becomes theoretical at the time I have to go to the dentist. I'm not a good patient at all. I have nightmares before I go of death scenes and so on. I know, during the time of treatment, I would see big teeth in all sizes before my eyes. When I went to bed, I saw good teeth, bad teeth and all the teeth in the middle, you know, between, and I was totally absorbed. But this is not bringing us to Krishna consciousness. This absorption in me and mine, it is ultimately illusory. So the type of anxiety which we learn here from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this type of anxiety is necessary. Therefore, my dear devotees, do some project, become part of something. When you are grihasthas, you can come to the temple, serve at the temples, or you can have Namhata programs at your home, like very nice grihasthas in our Goloka Dham community. They make very good Namhata programs at their homes. You can serve devotees. Do something which binds you to Krishna. This is very good. Okay. This is what I wanted to tell you today. I'm seeing it is becoming a little late and I don't wish to take so much of your time. Please let me give you a summary before we end, that Lord Krishna wishes to have us back in the kingdom of God, and he tells us how we can do this, what four steps we have to do to go back. And the steps all start with the mind, where we think of Krishna. And you automatically will start to think of Krishna. If you take some anxiety for Krishna, means some project which you wish to do for Krishna, there is no faster way of the purification. And please do not think, no, now my external circumstance have changed. I'm no longer a brahmachari. Please, or a brahmacharini. Good that you live your life and progress in your life. But the principles should be taken with you, the good principles, and applied in your life, so that you can also become spiritually happy and spiritually fulfilled in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I think if I would have joined, and someone would have to give me this sentence, come as an ignorant person to the temple and says, how can I become Krishna conscious? Yeah, but be in anxiety. No. I will do something else, Buddhistic meditations and so on. But to be in anxiety for Krishna means ecstasy. It means to really come, ecstasy in the true sense of the word, to come out of that limited state of material consciousness. Hare Krishna. So this is what I wanted to tell you today. I thank you extremely for your concentration. I know it is a little late and you may be a little tired also. So on. But now I will not take questions at this moment, I think, because it's a little late. I see Sadanandi is getting ready, or Govindanandan is telling us a little the secrets of living at Goloka Dham. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.